Hello and welcome to Roll Out the Barrel, and welcome to our first pod of 2023. It's good to be back. I'm Sean. You can find me on Twitter at Brom Brewer, and with me is my British baseballing brewing buddy. Try saying that with your dentures in. Mark, how are you, fella?
I'm good, mate. Isn't it great to hear that theme tune again? It's been such a long time, hasn't it?
I do love a bit of Chaz and Dave.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I think a lot of our pod listeners do too. I think they've often said to us, don't ever change the music. So
I'm sure they'd rather us just talk for a minute so they could have Chaz and Dave, a minute, Chaz and Dave.
I think they like Chaz and Dave, and we just interrupt it for about 50 minutes. That's how it kind of works. But mate, it's been a long, long time. Apologies to anyone out there who does like listening to our pod, because we have tried a few times to get together to record. We both got, like most people, very, very busy lives and haven't managed to get together. So it's been too long, Mark.
It has. It really has, hasn't it? So was it August last year? So before we even completely messed up the postseason and all of that. So, yeah, thankfully we didn't have to go through all that depression, did we?
Yeah, we had planned to do one more pod last year, didn't we? And yeah. The season kind of just died on its arse a little bit. And I think we just thought, let's just pull stumps. Let's just enjoy Christmas and the new year,
and then
we'll go again in 2023. I mean, did you enjoy spring training this year?
Do you know what? I didn't actually see any spring training this year, and that's really, really like unusual for me, because usually that I pay massive interest in, because it's all at British time. Yeah, you know, it's always UK friendly time. But unfortunately, I've got a 3-year-old now, and she's usually quite active and trying to get her down between sort of 7 and 8 o'clock. So more often than not, and particularly with the pitch clock, the game was into its 5th, 6th inning by the time I got her down and got back. So I completely missed most of it, to be honest. So, I didn't really see any. But I mean, obviously, I was reading reports and whatever and hearing the good things about certain individuals who we'll probably talk about a later date. I mean, to be perfect, I mean, spring training is just that initial baseball's back, isn't it? And
it's
good to watch it if you can. It's nice to see kind of particularly the invitees and how they stack up. Unfortunately, just having a 3-year-old just gives a different element at the moment. So we'll skip over spring training, I think.
I did see a little bit of it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm always interested to see the team, but also the invitees as well. Most of them, you know, they're not going to make the roster, but it's good to see those. And obviously, there was a lot of the youngsters involved, a lot of rookies in there this year, which you normally see anyway. But there was three in particular, and I certainly think we're going to be talking about those as we go through the pod. It was good to see those, but also, of course, sort of intermingled with spring training this year, we had the World Baseball Classic, didn't we?
Yeah.
And obviously Team GB were represented there for the first time, which was fantastic. I think we did well. We got a win. And I was really pleased with that. I thought the team looked okay. I mean, we were up against some pretty big guns. Team USA, Team Canada.
Group of death, really, weren't we?
Mexico. I mean, Team Mexico only beat us by a run in the end. So yeah. I think the team really left that that competition with their heads held high.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, I mean, it was always a long shot for us getting that win. Just being there was kind of like the reward. To get that win and then to, you know, for the USA and Canada to go and do us a favour and to beat Colombia as well, just so that we don't have to now qualify for the next one, is just amazing. So we've got something to look forward to. Obviously, that hopefully then starts to give us some new eyes watching baseball, and you know, it can only be good for the sport. It can only grow the sport in this country. So it was really good to see that the BBC were covering parts of it. I know they weren't showing live games, but they definitely did quite a lot of reporting on it. So it was just a fantastic couple of weeks, really, wasn't it?
It was
just a shame that we couldn't get out to Phoenix this year, wasn't it? You know, for them to have a warm-up game against the Brewers before the actual tournament proper, that was all played within, you know, kind of driving distance of American Family Films for Phoenix. You know, it's such a shame that you know, we didn't know about it 2 years ago, and we could have saved up and got out there. Really,
it was a shame, wasn't it? I mean, that's talk about fantasy baseball. That's a real dream sort of game for us, yeah, as British baseball fans. But you're right. The good thing, I mean, those of us that know and like baseball, we watched it anyway. But yeah, the BBC did review it quite frequently. It was on their website a lot. And yeah, hopefully, if that's got us a few thousand more baseball fans in the UK, as you say, it's going to kind of grow that fan base, and long may it continue. And as you say, we've already qualified. Is it every 4 years? I think it is, isn't it?
I think it's 3 years. I think it's 2026, the next one, yeah. So
right, okay.
But it's just something we'll have to learn, isn't it? Because if we're going to start qualifying for it,
now that we're on the world stage, mate, do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I think we went up to something like 20th in the world from whatever it was, 28th or something, wasn't it? So, yeah, I mean, brilliant stuff from the team. I noticed that Trace Thompson, who actually played, he was an outfielder for us, wasn't he, who's in the Dodgers, had a three homer game the other day for the Dodgers, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he was playing for GB a couple of weeks ago. What's he doing in the Dodgers team in three home runs? So
it does make you smile.
It's weird, isn't it? It's just absolutely bizarre.
well, the thing that makes me smile about it is, you know, a lot of these guys are sort of, you know, second generation Brits. They got the broadest American accent you've heard, and it's sort of, you know, that their grandmother or grandfather, or maybe their mother or father, or maybe they've been born in the UK. I think maybe one or two which sort of live in the UK, but the majority of them are playing minor league baseball in places like Canada and the US. But you know, they supported the colours, and they flew the flag. So as far as we're concerned, mate, they were Team GB. But no, that was fantastic. Exactly. And as I say, that for me, it didn't dilute spring training, but there was another distraction.
And for me, I think I paid more attention to the World Baseball Classic than the spring training when I did have the time. So, you know,
well, obviously, because a lot of the big players were playing, right? I mean,
exactly,
and many Brewers too. Yeah, quite a few Brewers involved as well.
Got to see playing for against Team GB. You know, we got Rowdy Tellez and Luis Urias, who were with Mexico.
I think Rowdy's mum's Mexican, isn't she?
Yeah, something like
that. Was Mexican, so yeah. He passed away now, isn't
he? Yeah, and then we got, was it Toro was playing for Canada? A couple of others as well, wasn't there?
There was one or two others. Devin Williams played for Team US, of course.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Yeah. So not that he came out against us, but so, yeah, it was good to follow. And that was the other thing as well. It was competitive baseball at spring training, wasn't it? As opposed to spring training doesn't really matter. So,
absolutely.
For me, it made more sense to follow that when I had the time than it did to follow what was going on in the spring training. So,
yeah, I think you're right. It mattered, didn't it? It's great training for the season, because like you say, we've gone in from a tournament which is more of a warm-up to this matters, we want to win, and then you're straight into the season. So people are, I think maybe the players seem a little bit maybe they're a bit hotter to start the season than normally, but no, it was great to see. And then of course onto the season. So what thoughts did you have, Mark, if any, about what happened in the closed season in terms of players that we let go and one or two people that we brought in?
Where to start? I mean, obviously the main questions were, what were we going to do with Corbin Burns? The number one pitcher probably in the NFL. NFL? What the
NFL?
Hell? It's been a while since we talked about it.
Is it one in the MLB? Don't tell me, mate.
Sorry. I mean, obviously one of the number one pitchers in the MLB, and obviously his arbitration case was a big distraction. Very, very frustrating over piddly amounts. But I think, funnily enough, I had a listen to our podcast from June 2020 today, because I wanted to remind myself about that draft from 2020 when we drafted Garrett Mitchell and the others that we'll talk about later on. Just to kind of find out what we were talking about back then. And the beginning of that podcast, obviously, we were talking about the lockdown situation with COVID and how the players wanted to play, and there was going backwards and forth about money and stuff like that. And we were just literally slating them for money, slating like both sides, that basically, you know, when people are struggling, that they're arguing over pittance when they're millionaires. And again, here we are 3 years later, Corbin Burns and the and Milwaukee Brewers are arguing over £700,000, which in the grand scheme of things in the MLB is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But to me and you, if we earn £700,000 a year, or $700,000 as it is in America, you know, we'd be laughing, wouldn't we?
I think it's just frustrating. Yeah, I think from memory, Corbin and his agent were saying he was worth 10.1. Was that correct? Something like that. It was just over $10 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was less than what we're paying Brandon Woodruff, which is a surprise.
Yes, absolutely. He was around the 10.1 and 10.7, 10.8, and the Brewers were 10.1 million, something like that. It was $700,000 roughly against $10 million, and it felt really silly, didn't it? If it was $4 million versus $15 million, then okay, I understand. But it felt that, I mean, and I know that me and you sort of took to Twitter at that time to sort of vent our frustration a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping that, I know that Corbin Burns is a professional, of course he is, and he's going to always do his best with the Brewers, but I just hope there's not that little thing in the back of his head, you know, that kind of, it's kind of like, screw you guys, I'm going to be moving on as soon as I can now. You know, you've dirtied the waters with me. I hope that isn't there.
I think that possibly is what happened with Hader as well, wasn't it? Because he very much dictated when he was going to be used in a game before he got traded to the Padres, as he was only interested in being put in safe situations so that he could increase that stat, so that he had more leverage for his contract negotiations and arbitration. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's two groups of people that can't bargain together, isn't it? You know, you've got the LBPA, who want the most money for their players, and then you've got the owners who want the most profit for their side, and they're never going to agree. But yeah,
they're not. But you know, the thing that gets me with the arbitration process is that it's all or nothing, isn't it? So there's not even any room for negotiation. You know, I'm 10 million, I'm 11 million. Well, can we meet at 10.5, 10.6? That would feel a compromise, and maybe both sides of the fence would feel that they got something out of it. But it's not. It's designed to be, you're either going to get everything you want or nothing that you want. And it's so binary. I think it feels, it's almost designed to divide, you know, and this is what's happened to Corbin Burns. I mean, he's going to get 10.7, 10.8. The Brewers are saying 10.1 or 10 or something like that. You know, if they'd agreed 10.4, maybe would have been okay. Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly.
But now
yeah.
Burns is thinking, you know, I didn't get it. You got everything you wanted. I got nothing. And, you know, it's so binary. I just don't know why. I'm sure someone can message us and tell us why it's that way. But me personally, don't see why it's like, it's designed to piss one of the two parties
exactly,
off.
Yeah, exactly. There's no winners in that situation, is there? So, but yeah, so that was probably my biggest frustration. Obviously, we haven't extended Willy Adames, and then looking at how much shortstops we're going for this winter.
Yeah, it's crazy, wasn't it?
That's a bit worrying that we're not going to be able to afford him now as well. Obviously, we've got Brandon Woodruff, who is, you know, our number two in the rotation, who's already on 10.8 million, who's going to be up for arbitration again this year, isn't he, I believe. And we're going to end up having to spend even more money on him. So we've got to extend one of those three. Which one do we go for? Which one do we think we can get the best value for? It's kind of like we're kind of dicing with are we on a rebuild soon? Because if we lose that pitching rotation, we're going to be having to rebuild, aren't we?
Absolutely. Again, this year, you know, in a minute we'll talk about our rotation, but as we have been for the last, well, several years, we're built around our rotation again. I mean, our bats are looking good at the moment, and we'll have a chat about that. But absolutely, I mean, those three names you mentioned, if we don't extend two of those, then we're heading towards a tank, aren't we? Sure,
whether they'll class it as a tank, I don't know. But, you know,
nobody ever does technically, do they? But
no, exactly. But it is a big step back, isn't it? If we don't, you know, particularly if we lose the two pitchers and we keep Willy Adames, you know, at the end of the day, you almost want that 1-2 rather than the shortstop, because you can get other shortstops, as we'll talk about.
he's
a shortstop, isn't he, really, Adamas? Yeah, second baseman. Sure. Yeah. But yeah, you know.
You see how much the Cubs paid for Dansby Swanson?
Ridiculous.
He's got a 7-year deal. $230 million. Have I got that
something
right?
Like that. And well, I know it was a lot of money, and I was thinking, for a team that have tanked, that aren't expected to do very well, they're spending an awful lot of money at the moment. And
they are, yeah. But their rotation still. I know this is not a Cubs podcast, but apart from Stroman, who I don't particularly like, he seems to throw everything into the dirt. But he pitched well against his first game of the season. Their rotation's still not strong at all. But yeah, I mean, they've got Hosmer in. They've got Bellinger, they've got Swanson. Yeah.
But again, they're buying. We're not in the Premier League. They're acquiring players that have had good numbers previously, and they're taking a gamble on them, aren't they? A bit like we did a couple of years back when we in the likes of Grandal and Moustakas and that. And we seem to have gone against that, don't we, by letting people like Hunter Renfro go. And
just about to talk about him, Mark, in terms of the closed season. That was one that really it annoyed me. It really pissed me off. I mean, I think we had him on a 2-year deal, didn't we, originally? But he played for one season, and last year he was a great bat for us.
But he was also a great outfield arm as well, wasn't he?
Exactly. In a season when, again, we weren't overly blessed with amazing batting or aggressive, super aggressive batting. Although we were third in the home run league, but there you go, that's another story. and we let him go to the Angels. And I was like, oh dear, what is this? At that point, I really felt that we were going to have a bit of an offload.
Yes.
Thankfully, it didn't really happen. I mean, Omar Narváez went to the Mets as well, didn't he? Which, again, was another decent bat we lost there.
Mm-hmm.
But we did replace him with William Contreras, which was good.
Yeah, that was a complete shocker, wasn't it? That happened. I still don't fully understand now how a 3-team trade can happen.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Because we trade Hayder and get 4 players in, and then all of a sudden so-and-so goes somewhere, and then
very carefully choreographed. Don't you worry. It's the Billy Bean Moneyball syndrome, and it's phone calls. But I mean, so we got Contreras in, so great replacement there for Omar. He's a good aggressive catcher. And with him and Caratini, I'm quite pleased in that position.
Yeah, they're pretty good, aren't they?
And we brought in some other names, such as Brian Anderson, which is not really a name that had been on my radar before. He was good in spring training, and he's been pretty excellent to start the season as well.
Well, he's the first home run, isn't he? He hit the team's first home run last night. He's looked pretty good. I didn't see much of him in spring training, but I obviously heard that he was tonking the ball about a bit. And he seems to be doing all right from what I've seen. I mean, I say from what I've seen, we've had 4 games, and we've had a very yin and yang 4 games, haven't we, to be fair, even though we're 3-1.
After the first game, everyone was suicidal, the usual, I was thinking about this earlier, because my natural reaction is, oh, bloody calm down, 162 games in the season. And I still, most fans with a brain, they understand that's the case. We call it a roller coaster, and it always is.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose I do kind of understand as well all of that. You know, it's been a few months. We've all been starved of baseball, and you want to get back into it. And to get shut out in that first game, I kind of understand a few people wanting to vent. It's just the disappointment of fans.
Even we put on Twitter, didn't we, about the, you know, we don't seem to have improved our batting from last year and the year before. You know, so we were a little bit negative, which we're not normally, and we try not to be. But it wasn't like, oh my God, season's over. But it was just I think my on the cusp kind of tongue in cheek remark was, did the batters practice over the winter?
It didn't
look like any change at all, did it? And then all of a sudden, we get to the 8th inning of game 2, and we managed to get a couple of bloops or a walk.
Well, we did break a franchise record. It's not a record you want to break. 16 innings, the start of a season without a run scored. So
yeah.
it's not a record that you want to break. But maybe the players heard that, because the next thing you know, we started to hit runs. Which was
but then the other thing we've got to remember is they were playing outdoors in Chicago in very, very cold conditions. So that's got to make affect you.
Yeah, absolutely. They've come from where? Arizona. Yeah, in the Cactus League.
Yeah, 25, 26 degrees in our temperatures pretty much.
Well, they were wearing hoodies, weren't they, and sort of balaclavas and stuff. So it showed how cold it was. So no, you're absolutely right. It's tough on the body. Chicago, open, you know, no roof in very, very early April, I'd imagine is a pretty chilly place to be. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That's all part of the game, though, isn't it? They're used to that every year, so it's the way it goes, yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean, we might as well get used to it, because it seems to be every year we have a home opener or an away opener at Wrigley Field, don't we?
seems to be that way, doesn't it?
It's three out of four, isn't it? Three out of the last four.
It gets the fans in, doesn't it, I suppose, but yeah. But then, you know, I mean, you look at, so we played four games. I mean, we're recording this on the 4th of April, so we're four games in. We're just on the back of that fantastic 10-0. Win against the Mets, which we'll go through in a second. But you know, 0-3, 9-10, so we scored 22 runs, conceded 4-1, 5-0, so we're on a plus 12 run differential after that first game. You wouldn't have thought we'd be saying that, would you?
No, exactly. No, I listened to I think it was a Locked On Brewers podcast after game one, and they were already saying, you know, there were people on Facebook that were saying they're done with the season already, and
I know,
they're going to do nothing at all this year, which is quite funny, and you kind of just have to take it with a pinch of salt, don't you? But to be honest, going on the last couple of years when we have looked that bad with the bat, you know, you kind of think, is it going to come again? Are we going to end up being a boom or bust team again this year? And you know, and thankfully at the moment it's proving not to be, but as you say, we still got 158 games to go yet, so
we got a lot of baseball, mate.
Exactly. So,
but you know, you were saying that about, you know, done with the season after one game. I mean, somebody posted, I know it's pretty famous, but I don't know if you like Family Guy, but someone that really creased me is that you watch Family Guy at all? I don't know if you do. It's so good. But Stewie, this little kid, little character, he's at a Mets game. And he's sitting in the stands, you know, and he's like, welcome to the opening game of the Mets season. And what's name pitches? And the season's over. Right? And that's it. And I thought, that's exactly how a lot of these Facebook people are, isn't it? I'm done with this shit. Yeah, I mean, look, mate, you just get a pinch of salt. It makes me smile. But you know, look, we're four games in. We're 3-1. So we're obviously going to Wrigley and sweeping the Cubs in their own backyard beating the Cubs 2-1 in their own backyard is always a pleasure. And as I say, we beat the Mets 10-0, which was fantastic. Shut them out. Freddie Peralta was amazing. We'll go for that in a moment. But I think after that first game, we woke up and pretty positive, both offensively and defensively. So if we just quickly switch to the rotation for a moment, and you know, we're gonna have to talk about our rookies and stuff in a minute. Obviously Obi Corbin, he got that loss. He didn't look like the Corbin that we know and love. I'm hoping that was just the cold of Wrigley, as you say, and those opening day nerves. But he went for 4 earns and 3 walks actually in 5 innings pitch, which isn't the Corbin that we know and love. Woody, I thought, was superb. 6 innings pitched, just for 1 earns, which was great, with 8 Ks as well. And I thought he looked absolutely fantastic. Eric Lauer, who you know I have a soft spot for just because he's left-handed. Yeah, 5.1 innings pitched for 2 earns. And Freddie, I thought Freddie was absolutely fantastic yesterday. He went 6 innings pitched with 7 Ks, no earns, well, obviously, because we beat him 10-0. I thought, you know, that rotation, we talk about it a lot, being the best. And you know what? The worst of the four, and I'm using the word worst very, very loosely, so don't sort of anyone give me any pelters, but the worst performer was Corbin Burnes. Now, of course, he'll come back and he'll be brilliant, because that's what he does. But with those four, I mean, who's pitching for us tonight against the Mets, do you know?
Wade Miley.
It is Wade Miley.
Yeah, Wade Miley. So
that's a flashback for us, isn't it?
Which is another fairly decent lefty, you know. Yep. So, yeah, it's there's no reason why he can't get his, because I think he's after his 100th career win as well.
Right.
There's no reason why he can't get that tonight. But also, I mean, behind Wade Miley, we've got Aaron Ashby, who's due to return off the IL as well, haven't we? You know, there's another guy as well that could be a starter, isn't there? And I can't remember now.
Hauser, obviously.
He's
always down about, isn't he?
Yeah, he's down in the minors at the moment, isn't he? He's with Nashville. So,
I think the last few seasons he's been edging towards a bullpen anyway. My own personal opinion. I don't know whether I class him as a good starting pitcher. Maybe he's just he's amongst good company. Maybe, but it makes him see he doesn't look so good. But I don't know. If Wade Miley works for us, I know he's more of a bit of a veteran now. But if he works out for us, I can't see Hauser getting back onto the rotation. Certainly not in the short term. And I was thinking maybe he would fill a few holes in the pen, because the pen worried me again.
Yeah.
We let a few arms go. Obviously, Hauser at the end of last year. Brett Suter went.
Yeah.
So we lost a bit of experience there. Brad Boxberg went to the Cubs.
Wow, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And
that was a wounder, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because I rated him last year. I thought he was really good in that kind of set-up Devin Williams role. He did really well, didn't he?
That 7-8-9 of Boxberger, Williams, Hayder was just...
Wasn't it
for quite a long time.
Exactly.
But I've got to say, Mark, I've been mildly impressed. Actually, I've been very impressed with the bullpen. And I'm going to have a go now. Strzelecki. I think he's looked really solid. Varla looked good. Bushy's an old campaigner. Devin's been out once and given us that save.
Well, Bush got the 3-inning save last night, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, which is very unusual for us to have a 3-inning save, So that was a phenomenal piece of work. And who was it? It was it Guerra the other night?
He struggled, didn't he? He gave us that wobble, but
he got through it. And funnily enough, it was when I don't know if you saw last night, I tweeted that I put it on our chat group, didn't I, that the Brewers put one of my tweets up on the big screen. I think they were just talking, they were just showing that people using the "This Is My Crew" hashtag, and they put one of mine up, and it was me using the screenshot, "That's a bit outside of Bob Uecker," I tweeted that because of that inning where he literally came up, the first ball was in the dirt behind the catcher, and then there was another pass ball like about three pitches later. I was like, oh my god, what's he on tonight?
Maybe some nerves there, but we were 9-3 up at that time, I think, from memory. So we had the runs to play with, and that's exactly when you would put a pitcher on like that. You got a few runs to play with. If it doesn't go well, you can pull them. Yeah, he went for 2 earns, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But we still got through 9-5, so it was got a game under his belt. But generally, he was maybe rather nervous. But we do like that with Brewers fans. We don't like to win easily, do we?
No.
But no, Strzecki, brilliant. Varland, Bush, Williams. I just think, the pen so far, we're 4 games in, I know, but the pen so far has been okay. You know, sometimes when you're watching some of our relief pitchers and your toes are curling, you're thinking, I'm not enjoying this at all.
Exactly.
I haven't really had that feeling, not very often anyway, from our pen so far in 4 outings. So pretty pleased with that, because we lost a little bit of experience with Boxberger and Suter going. So, and of course, we're talking about offense on the back of a 10-0 victory. The bats started stone cold, but they got pretty hot pretty quickly. Yeah,
they've warmed up, haven't they?
I mean, we've got to talk about our top three, our three kids, haven't we? Do you remember? Well, I know you do, but many of the guys in the States probably don't know the quote, but there's a famous Scottish football commentator or pundit who said, "You won't win anything with kids." His name's Alan Hansen, and he said this about Manchester United, the season that they won the Premier League with kids.
Yep.
And that quote always sticks in my head. And I'm looking at Terang and I'm Garrett Mitchell and Joey Vima or Weimer, and I'm thinking, we've got some kids here, and you know what? they're just going out there and sticking it to players, and I'm loving
it. Let the kids play. I think I saw a quote earlier on that basically said, let the kids play whilst they don't know, whilst they have no fear of doing anything wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they've got nothing to lose, have they? If they end up faltering and they get dropped in a couple of months' time, they've had a little bit of experience and they've learned. If they carry on playing in the way they're playing, they're going to be superstars in a couple of years, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? They've very got nothing so, to lose whatsoever. Yeah.
So, I mean, Gareth is still still classed as a rookie, right? He was doing the coffee run the other day again, I noticed. But, I mean, absolutely right. Just let the kids go because they've got no fear. I mean, I look at Joey Weimer, and it's like, well, obviously he's in because Lewis got injured and he said he was able to take that spot. And I think sometimes when you look at him, it feels like he's got imposter syndrome a little bit because he's out there and he's hitting the ball or he's on first and he's getting some hits and he's almost looking around laughing and going, what am I doing here?
Exactly. But he was only drafted in 2020, wasn't he? So again, like Mitchell, you know, he's probably a year or two ahead of where he probably expected to be at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he looked good and quick on the bases as well, you know.
I had a question for you on that, actually. Obviously there's been a few rule changes this year, the three big rule changes. I'm gonna have a little chat about the pitch clock in a moment. We've got to have moan as cricket fans. We like a good moan. But there's been a few stolen bases for the Brewers this year, and my question to you was, do you think that's because our kids are fast or because the bases are bigger? Obviously, they've gone from 15 to 18 inches, haven't they? Apart from home plate.
I think the kids are fast. I don't think the 6 inches or whatever they've gained from the bigger bases makes any difference whatsoever.
Mm.
So I think it's literally...
It hasn't been fingertips, has it? That's the thing.
No, exactly. You know, they've been there comfortably. So I think it's got nothing to do with the bases. It's got everything to do with their youth, their... speed.
Exuberance.
And their exuberance. Yeah, exactly. So, I say if they were all kind of marginally kind of just getting in or whatever, then yeah, you could probably say, yeah, the bases are helping. I mean, the bases might be helping somebody like Rowdy Tellez, but then.
Maybe a little bit.
They could bring in the big bases for the BBF, single A level in British baseball. And I might actually be able to steal a base as well, you know.
You never know, right? The 25-inch base, here we come. I think you're right. Like I say, it's not fingertips. You know, if they were in by their fingertips, you'd say the bigger bases help, but it's not. And I'm just loving it. I'm loving that sort of free as a bird, hit the ball, almost like they've gone out with their mates to play a game of baseball. And I love it.
I'm really enjoying watching the bloops into the outfield and the getting on base and beating the throws and
stealing
the bases and all of that. You know, that's been so good to watch because we haven't had a lot of that the last two or three years, really, have we? It's been an awful lot of big hits and all three up, three down kind of offense, really, hasn't it? So it's been such a thing.
Like I say, last season we scored the third highest amount of home runs in the whole of MLB.
Yeah, and yet we didn't.
We had no small ball. You're right. It was all or nothing, wasn't it? But now, go out there and see Bryce Durang pull one. You know, look, he likes to try and pull that first pitch, doesn't he, into the right field. I love that. It's fantastic. It's good to see runners on base. Yes, home runs are fantastic and long. You know, certainly Bryce Durang's grand slam, which we're going to have a chat about in a second, but. Small ball's great. I mean, watching players run on base is great fun to see. So certainly when they're as fast as our team are. So I'm loving that. I mean, Bryce Tarang, let's talk about his grand. Sorry, go on. I was going to say,
but there's the other thing as well is there's that change, the pitch change as well, isn't there? Now you can only have two pickoffs at bat. So that also helps with the stolen bases because you know that it's only going to come twice. And once it's come twice, you can go.
Yeah. So, it's all aimed at more runs. Yeah. Let's face it.
It's working, isn't it? You know, it's made it more exciting. But then, to be honest with you, I don't remember seeing an awful lot of pickoff attempts. I think there used to be an awful lot more than there have been.
But I think now they're saving them, aren't they? Because they know they've only got two. So it's kind of and I must admit, I wasn't aware of that change until I watched the game the other day. Obviously, we're aware of the pitch clock and the shift and the larger bases and stuff, but. That one gone under the radar for me, but that's one I'm quite happy with because the one frustration you get sometimes when you see a pitcher throw to first three or four times before even pitching the ball, and after a while it's like you hear the crowd, come on, just throw.
Yeah, the you just hear the boo.
Yeah, and it becomes a bit of gamesmanship.
Like I say, is as a catcher, it's quite nice to know that they're only going to do that twice, because I've been stood behind a batter before where they've tried to pick off four or five times. I'm like, come on guys, I've got to crouch here.
Yeah. My legs. No, I do like that. And so what are your thoughts on sorry Bryce Tarang? We're going to talk about Bryce Tarang, weren't we, about that that Grand Slam. I mean, we have an expression in the UK, don't we? That's like Roy of the Rovers stuff, which basically means it's kind of comic book fantasy. But for him, first home game, to smash a Grand Slam with his parents and his family in the stands. I mean, does it get any more romantic than that?
No, not at all. That's exactly what you dream of, isn't it? Your home debut. I mean, wouldn't it have been great if he'd have done that at Wrigley Field on the first day? But, you know, the fact that he was able to do that in front of his parents, in front of 42,000 Milwaukee fans as well, you know, that noise was loud when he did that. And you know, I know it took us to took us to 7-0 up, didn't it? So you know,
I lost the game by that time.
It effectively killed the game off, didn't it? So you know, it was pretty much this is it. We've arrived. We're there. You know, and yeah, I mean, for him, what a moment! I bet he didn't even dream that. I bet he was thinking, if I can just get bat on ball, get round a couple of runs, maybe a couple of RBIs, I'd be happy with that. I don't think he could have even dreamt of hitting a Grand Slam in his home debut.
You wouldn't dare to dream that, would you?
No. And I love very first professional home run as well, you know. It's
correct, yeah. I mean, why not get four RBIs at the same time? And the thing I loved, I'm sure you saw it on the TV as well, was when he's got back to the dugout and everyone's slapping him, and then Willie Adames kind of having a word with him. Don't know what he was saying, but you get the impression he's just, you know, absorb the moment, because this is big. This is big. You know, your family are proud of you. It's what you dreamt of. Yeah, but, you know, Willie Adames looked just as excited about it as Tarang, and I thought that was fantastic. As one of the senior, you know, players in the team, I thought that was really nice to see. So that was excellent. And, of course, we spoke about the three kids, and look, they're doing great. Silly. I mean, Tarang's got over 1,500 OPS at the moment, but I know it's on a sample size of four. The other two bats I've been really happy with so far. I mentioned Brian Anderson earlier, which is great, but also Jesse Winker stepped up now as that designated hitter. He's been five RBIs to his name.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, he's brought the runs in, hasn't he? Because was it him that brought in the first runs at Wrigley?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he brought the first RBI. I think he levelled the scoring, didn't he? And then was it Contreras that got the winning RBIs?
Possibly, I can't remember off the top of my head. But, he's, from 11 at-bats, he's 831 and 364 average. So, you know, of those two, bit of experience there, certainly from Jesse Winker.
But we're all hoping that he has that comeback year, aren't we? Because we know a couple of years ago, was it the Cardinals or the Reds?
It was the Reds,
just had a fantastic season. You just thought, oh, God, I was so pleased that he left the division to go somewhere else. But, to have him back and, hopefully if he refines that form, if we've got that Jesse Winker back, then...
let's hope so, mate, because, I mean, Yelly's still struggling a bit. You got the old golden sombrero last night against the Mets.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because he's still getting on base, though, isn't he?
Walks still. He's getting the walks, and that's what he's, he's been a bit of an unsung hero in that in that part of the game. But he is plenty of walks. But we just want to see that Yelly hit the ball, don't we? Let's just see how the season goes. What are your thoughts on the shot clock then? There's one thing that we spoke about last year and we weren't overly excited about it. What are your thoughts on it so far?
Well, I think I tweeted the first positive about the pitch clock was on game one, when we were absolutely awful, that we only had to suffer for 2 hours and 20 minutes. I mean, to be perfectly honest, actually, I didn't see a problem with the time of the game, but it has taken away a lot of that silliness of walking out of the box, readjusting your gloves, blah, blah, blah. You know, actually, I don't have an issue with it. I think it's done all right. You know, the Mets obviously haven't got used to it because they have, what, 4 pitch clock violations last night? I think they've had the most this season as well. I think they've had 6 so far this season. I don't think we've had 1 yet, have we? So I think we've adjusted to it fairly well. And actually, probably with the 3 youngsters that we've just mentioned, probably doesn't affect, because they've obviously, they're used to it because it was in AAA last year, wasn't it, or AA last
year?
So they're probably used to it anyway, so they haven't had to adjust, which is possibly why they've got off to such a flying start. So
interesting that, I mean, they were saying last night, and it makes sense that the experienced major league pitchers are the ones who are going to be struggling with it. It makes sense because they're not used to it. The kids are coming up having pitched I must admit, I kind of agree. I'm not here to moan about it because I don't, certainly not ruining the game. It does just feel a bit rushed sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think there are times when you do want to stop that silliness. And I agree. Batters that are adjusting their gloves every 2 seconds and adjusting their helmet and going for a walk, and that's not good for the game. I think the stats at the moment are saying that games are averaging, what, about 2 hours 45, something like that?
Yeah, something like that,
I think if I paid $50 or $60 for a ticket, I wouldn't be too upset with it lasting 3 or 4 hours. I want to get my money.
Exactly. I mean, we're in an unusual position, because obviously if we go to Miller Park and Fam, to American Family Club, we want to be there for as long as possible because that's what we're going there for, isn't it? Whereas I suppose if you've got a season ticket and you're going every, you know, 2 or 3 times a week or whatever, I guess that being there 4 or 5 hours every day is probably a little bit more of a burden. I think the funny thing for me is that obviously I'm used to a game starting at 7 o'clock in the evening and not finishing till 11, half 11, 12 o'clock sometimes, and now all of a sudden it's getting to like 10:15 and I'm thinking, oh, I suppose I'll go to bed then, shall I?
And again, that's from a British fan's point of view, a lot of the early games start here around 20 past 7, don't they? So that pitch clock does enable us to get to bed at a more convenient time. Time will tell. I do like the 2 pickoffs, so I think that's great. Time will tell, but I'm like you. It's probably working a bit better than I anticipated. Feels a tad rushed, but I'm not going to get overly concerned about it.
The other thing I was going to mention, that because obviously with the episode that I listened to earlier on of us, we were talking about the fact that they were going to introduce the designated hitter to the National League as well in 2020. And I suddenly thought, oh yeah, I remember that. We didn't have a designated hitter 3 years ago.
Leave it alone, it ain't broken.
But how do you feel about the designated hitter now? Are you just used to it? Had you completely forgotten that pitchers used to rake, you know?
I will always miss watching pitchers rake. I will. But look, yeah, I'm just used to the DH now. It's just part of the game. It's become part of the strategy now. And I'm okay with it. I've got no problem with it. I do want to see, you know, Brandon Woodruff go down there and smack one over the fence. But, and it was also good fun just watching pitchers that had no idea about batting. It's not very nice, but it's good to have a laugh at them sometimes.
Well, put it this way, it was always nice if they were the last batter up when you were winning a game and wanting that save, wasn't it? If you knew Ada was coming up to the number 9 pitcher.
Exactly, and that's why it's changed the strategy of the game, because obviously the thought process is different. Everyone who is about to go at bat can pretty much bat. So, I'm okay with it. I think the thing is, it's progress, isn't it? We've had it in the American League for as long as whenever. Maybe we just like the game, and so we don't like change generally. But at the end of this year, we might be massive advocates of the pitch clock and the fact that they've banned the
shift.
Thank you. I was going to say sweep then.
Perfectly honest, I hadn't noticed the change in the shift. That's probably the first time I've actually even considered the fact that the shift is banned.
Well, they have to have, obviously, two either side of second base, but also when the pitcher is in his wind-up, they have to have both feet in the infield as well.
Yeah, that's right,
So there's no pushing players back super deep and everything. I don't think at the moment we've had a chance to really see in action, but no, you're right, you wouldn't notice it, would you?
No.
But maybe we're not noticing it because they're not allowed to do it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so the setup's the setup. It's the same no matter who's at bat now, isn't it?
Possibly because the bloops are going into the gaps in the outfield now, aren't they,
Rob? Well, yeah, absolutely. But it's all about getting more runs on the board.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, maybe that's the bonus to the shift being banned, is that actually we're seeing more bloop singles into the outfield. So I hadn't noticed that, but yeah, I'll try and pay attention to that and see if that would have affected any change, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah.
Mm. So it's been an interesting season, isn't it, so far? How do you feel generally? Do you think that that last night's game was a one-off? Because obviously we've got to play two more games against the Mets yet. The Mets are highly fancied. Mm. Do you think we're likely to go out and get a win? I mean, obviously we've got Corbin starting game three. It's how he does tonight, I suppose, isn't it? So,
well, I think it's hard not to be optimistic when you've just
wiped the floor,
hammered them 10-0. Exactly. I mean, they're an all-star team. They're fancied for a good reason. There's some big players in that team, and we played them off the park yesterday. So, I think it's hard not to be optimistic. The beauty of baseball is it can swing overnight. You know, you can have a heavy win and a heavy loss in the space of 2 days. But I've got to say, thus far, we're 3-1 after four games. We've hit a plus 12 run differential. I'm confident. I think the guys are playing good baseball. Rotation's doing its job. And we're hitting runs. So, yeah, I've got no reason to think that we're going to lose this season 2-1 to the Mets. I don't know. Time will tell. Interested to see how Wade Miley pitches tonight. I think that's a really interesting one. But no, I mean, I'm always optimistic. We've always, all fans have that early season optimism, don't they?
It
does take a few games for it to set in that maybe you're not going to win this year. But mate, I've seen nothing in the Cardinals which frightens me. And even though the Cubs strengthened, as I said, their rotation's pretty poor still for me.
Their rotation's poor, isn't it? Their bats are pretty good. That's the only.
Yeah, yeah. I'm optimistic, mate. How about you?
I'm fairly optimistic. I think generally most people were thinking that it was a two horse race for the Central this year. I think that's probably still about right. Yeah, I think it pretty much is a two horse race. I think the Cubs are better this year than they were last year, so I wouldn't expect them to be maybe nearer to an 80 win team than they were last year. I still think the Pirates are struggling or are going to be the bottom team. The Reds look better on paper at the moment. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. We'll find out, won't we, at the end of the day. I think we're looking good at the moment, so I think we've got every reason to be positive at the moment. Lots to look forward to. So
I think so. I know you said there was a few ex-Brewers that have retired in the closed season as well.
Yeah. So it's weird because obviously I've now been watching baseball for long enough for people that I started to like when I first started watching it are now retiring. So we had three really big. For me, they were big. So, obviously Travis Shaw retired this winter, who was Mr. Obviously the mayor of Ding Dong City. There we go.
I have for those that can't see, I've just shown my mayor of Ding Dong City bobblehead.
Yeah, I have that bobblehead too as well, but unfortunately I don't have it out on the shelf at the moment. Obviously he was 30 plus home runs 2017, 30 plus home runs 2018. Massive part of that 2018 team. Really, really liked him. Thought he was an awesome player. I think I saw him when I was over there in 2017. I think he played one of the three games that I went to see. I think he had a baby at the time, so he might have missed a game because of the baby. So, really, really good player. I really liked him. The other one, Eric Thames, obviously was the biceps of baseball. He was signed from career 2017 season, I think. He hit a massive amount, phenomenal amount of home runs in the April. I think he'd hit something like 14 home runs that April 2017.
Yeah, decent first base as well.
Yeah, was really, really good player. Got to see him as well, so I was really pleased. And then the other one that's retired, and this is probably going to split the fan base a little bit. Eric Sogard also retired.
Played
in the World Baseball Classic with the Czech Republic, and has since announced his retirement from baseball. I know that he splits opinion because of the whole COVID vaccination stuff and his wife, which, you know, yeah, that's fair play, but that's not anything to do with baseball. When I first started following, Eric Sogard was the leadoff man. I think in that first 50 games of the 2017 season, when he was the leadoff man, the Brewers didn't lose. So, you know, I kind of started to like him and getting into the nerd power. So those three players have all retired this summer. All three were pretty big with the Brewers when I first started following. So, and I have an Eric Sogard shirt. And obviously Eric Thames hit the first home run that I ever saw live, because he was the one that hit the leadoff home run in the 3-0 win against the Dodgers when I was there. Travis Shaw, just phenomenal player. So wish him all well. You know, thanks for
the memories, mate.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like when I saw all three of them had retired, I was like, blimey, you know, my team that I started to follow is now starting to get too old to play baseball. That's how long I've been following baseball for.
Well, so, you know, three out and three in with the rookies now as well, isn't it?
Well, so exactly, there you go. Yeah.
This is the cycle of life, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
The cycle of baseball.
Very much is. So, and then, there's one other thing that I also wanted to mention, and that is that you will notice that the logo for the podcast has changed. It's now the glove and ball logo with the British Union Jack on it, and roll out the barrel around it. Really want to thank George from Astros UK who basically answered my call for somebody to design me it. It's the logo is what I wanted really as the UK Brew Crew logo. The reason why I haven't done it is because I don't know whether it breaks the trademark for the Brewers. So obviously I'm not going to do any merchandise or anything with it, but obviously I think it looks really smart. I really like the fact
The Brewers Brew is a Crew. Glove, ours is a hand.
There you go. Yeah. That's the way around it, is it?
From we can get our listeners on that, mate. No problem. No, listen. Thanks to George at UK Astros for helping out. He's done a great job. It looks really good.
It does look really good. And if you do see me wearing a T-shirt that has it, it's not because it's up for public sale. It's just because I've used it to make my own T-shirt. Really like the logo. I've always liked that logo. And that's what I've always wanted the UK Brew Crew logo to look like. I just didn't want to break the trademarks and stuff for the Brewers and get fined or, you know, sued or anything like that. So I've kind of used it for the podcast just as a podcast logo, but I'm obviously not looking to make any money out of it, so but I think it's really really smart. Okay. I think it's lovely, so it just,
you know what, mate, if you sell 2 million t-shirts, I'm sure you're happy to pay some royalty to the Brewers, right?
I guess, yeah, if I'm selling them for £10 a time, yeah.
exactly. It's not a problem, is it? So that's fine. No, brilliant. Okay, no, the new look for the new year, mate, fantastic. Okay, we're going to pull stumps there then, mate, to use an old cricket term. So what's happening over the next couple of days? As I said, we're going to game two against the Mets tonight. Hopefully we can see those off. We've then got three games at home to the Cardinals, and then we're over at Arizona against the Diamondbacks for a stretch of three away games. So those are our up-and-coming games. Let's hope we can do the business there. And next time we get together, mate, we'll be talking about the fact that we're on a 25-1 season, which would be nice, won't it?
Wouldn't it just be lovely? Yeah. I mean, hopefully, by the next time I'm talking to you as well, Brighton and Hove Albion will be in the FA Cup final, but I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself. Yeah.
They're doing very good. You're having a really good season, mate.
Yeah.
Really good season.
Been phenomenal. I've been such an up and down, very much like following the Brewers. With the situation and half of the pretty much all of the backroom staff going, and Cucurella going, and losing Bissouma and Trossard, and it's been such a roller coaster, but we're doing so well. So really really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed the interactions with obviously the Premier League in Wisconsin Twitter, USA Stateside Seagulls, and all of those people that have kind of jumped on the Premier League and growing, doing exactly what I'm doing for the UK Brew Crew, but in America for Brighton and Hove Albion. It's been excellent, you know. And Matt, who's in our fantasy team, he sent me some stuff over
just before Christmas. I sent him a couple of Brighton shirts over because I've got hundreds of them. My wife's saying, get rid of some. Yeah, so it's really good to have that kind of, be able to return the favour from people actually sending us stuff, you know. So, yeah, it's been a really, really good kind of 6 months or so.
All I can say is that following my team, Birmingham City, it's a bit like following the Pittsburgh Pirates, mate.
They're not quite that bad, though, are they?
I don't know, they ain't much better. But okay, mate, look, let's not leave it so long next time before we get together, mate, and have a good chinwag and talk all things Brewers. As we get into the season, mate, we'll have more and more to talk about, right?
Because, yeah, the next time we speak will probably be a countdown to the London series. And obviously,
we'll release
details of what we might be doing then, kind of meeting up for beers and stuff like that. So, obviously, we want to get the UK fan base involved. And, I know it's the Cubs Cardinals, but actually it's MLB on our doorstep. Let's take the advantage and let's go along and be a nuisance.
Mate, it's Major League Baseball, no matter who's playing. Exactly. We're going to go, we're going to enjoy it. And, as you say, we'll give our details in the next part, certainly for the guys in the UK, and see if we can get as many Brewers fans together, which would be absolutely awesome. Okay, and to all those you guys listening out there, thanks as ever for your support. You're very kind, and we do like the comments that we receive about the pod. As I said, my name's Sean. You can find me on Twitter at Brum Brewer. He's Mark. You can find him on Twitter at UK Brew Crew, and you can find the pod on Twitter at UK Brew Crew Pod. Mark, take it easy, my friend, and I shall see you very soon.
Yes, look forward to it, mate. Take it easy and
go Brewers.